Yes, this is the these are the days that preceded nearly having that fucking crash, or nearly crashing, which was around about there. So that's about 3 days worth of sleep and waking timetable stuff, you know. So Tuesday here in the Brown Stripe with midnight, you know. At 1 a.m. I went to bed and woke up at 4 a.m. and then I was busy from 5 a.m. right through to midday. Then around about 1 p.m. I was busy there. And then to 1 p.m. Tuesday, and then went to sleep from about 1 p.m. to about 4 p.m. I think, or was it 6 p.m. And then I woke up at about, so we'll just say 5 p.m. ish. Woke up at 5 p.m. and then stayed busy all from 5 p.m. to midnight, you know what I mean? And then into Wednesday at 1 a.m. and then I was busy all of to midday, and then at 6 p.m. around about 5:30, 6 o'clock, I departed from where I was. I had about 140K drive home, and after about half an hour, I said, "I'm so fucking tired. I have to pull over right now. There's no none of this sort of." Going for those really nice rest stop areas where they have mown grass and watered lawns, and you know, there's no fucking huge ants, you know. And then, so I did, and I pulled in at this little lane, and it was a where they the lane basically doesn't get used, so they just fence it off and ask the council to sort of if they can use it for farming or something, you know. And yeah, so I found this beautiful little place, and then after 2 hours of just good sleep, I got up at about 8 o'clock ish, and then I made the video as I was driving, and it was about half an hour to the next town, and then I pulled in there and slept for 2 hours on the lawn. I threw out the or Pilates mats or whatever, you know, the thin little Pilates mats, two of those, and it evens out most of the bumps, and it's good insulation over the ground, you know, and pulled the sleeping bag over the top. And then around late 11 p.m. I got going again, and then around 1 a.m. ish, quarter past one in the morning I think, I arrived home, and then stayed busy till about 7 a.m. and then I slept from 8 a.m. till about 4 p.m. I think, and then it was sort of busy again, you know, and that's what preceded the almost crashing, you know, that where I had to have two lots of 2 hours sleep, you know, because I figured that, you know, I could go for say an hour's sleep every 30 minutes until I got home, and or thereabouts. And this is the other aspect of traveling at night is where is it? Oh, hello. Here we have just an interpretation of the what to look out for. In you'll see these little white lines. What they are is out the front of the car there, the headlights are reflecting off the lines in the road. So you'll see the white line, the reflection of the white lines go up this rear window, right? And watch what happens is it goes from this side to this side as I start drifting across the lanes, and there's a brr, brr, you know, when there's little humps that make noise to help wake people up, or to wake drivers up to the fact that, alert drivers to the fact that they're sort of drifting off the road or crossing the lanes or whatever. So there's those, watch out for that. And watch out for when I blink, how the blinks are getting longer and sort of longer and longer. And then there's a bit of a fright, bit of a fright, bit of wake up kind of thing, sort of. That happens a lot, or that happens, and then it's back to sort of where you start to have a blink and then your eyes just stay closed and you are actually asleep at the wheel, you know. And while I'm talking, I'm drifting in and out of dreamland, you know. And what my final words were was that, something about fuel economy and not wasting, and you can afford to waste a little bit of fuel and this sort of stuff, but you can't waste your life. And that means by being very, very tired and falling asleep at the wheel and potentially ending your life in a crash, either head on, very bad, especially with a big truck, or going off the side of the road and hitting a fucking tree, generally bad to fatal, you know, or rolling the car, which is not a good idea, you know. Or maybe you just might wake up as you hit the rough stuff, you know. So watch the eyes and watch the fucking things in the background, you know what I mean? And this is to prove how much of a faithful anti-Catholic I am, but watch the sort of, you can see it sway when different road conditions are on, okay? So we'll with my driving, this is so dangerous. I will. The next town is a good town. I'm so fucking tired though. They have a good area with mown grass. And in the middle of that grass, it's called couch grass. So I'm gonna fucking hollow off on that. You know. The oil companies have more variety and more provision for sake of wasteful, for the wasteful consumption of fuel. But I don't have one for the wasteful consumption of life. Yeah, flickering on and off. Alright guys, I've got to fucking concentrate. Yeah, this is the other aspect of travelling at night, is or late afternoon, like say 3-4 hours before sunset, and for the first 3-4 hours in the morning, generally, you know. Doesn't mean there's no stragglers about. Yeah. This is the other aspect of travelling in Australia, in sort of more country areas. Maybe not even that much country areas, but see these. This is a young kangaroo. Looks sort of well fed, got its sort of baby fur on it. This looks like it's a female, and that looks like about 1.1 meters high if it's standing up straight. He looks like about 1.4 meters high, 1.5 meters high. And kangaroo, this has a bit of meat on it because you can tell by the shoulder and the muscles in the back leg. It's what happens is kangaroos, when the feed is really good, they don't gain weight in the form of fat because kangaroos basically have no fat on them. What they do is they gain muscle mass. So this one's, this female's got a bit more in the upper arms and a, you know, fair sort of a hind quarter kind of thing, you know. But the male, he looks like he's been eaten, and he's bulked up quite a lot, but you can see there's just nothing but muscles there. And see, if you hit a little kangaroo like that doing 100 k's an hour, it'll just smash the front end in, you know. Or it'll come through the windscreen and break your neck, you know. It'll crush your chest and break your neck on the way to the back seat, you know, as your head leans back over, you know, 90, a total 180 degree turn on your spine, you know. So that's one thing, but when a large kangaroo, like a big male, especially if it's, if that's say 1.5, 1.6, 1.7, 1.8 meters high when it's standing up straight, there's a lot of weight in that. And what I've called them, I call them bouncing beer kegs, because in physique they're solid, you know, they're not flimsy and soft guts and stuff, you know what I mean. Sure that they'll smash and rip into bits and stuff like that, but there's a lot of solid muscle and bone and all this other sort of stuff. It's, you know, it's a, you know, there's a difference between hitting rice pudding with a hammer, you know, and hitting a leather boot, you know. That's more like hitting a leather boot. That's why I call them bouncing beer kegs. And, yeah, so that's why I travel slowly at night, because these ones can really just fucking damage your car and possibly kill you. These ones, if you hit them at sort of full bounce, you know, when they're above the, their leap, you know, they can leave the ground here and you know, go boing like that and then come down like that, you know what I mean? They can easily do 6 meters on a leap, you know what I mean? Because their tail is just a big fucking thing of tendons, and their muscles in the legs are effectively one big giant sort of set of springs, you know. The tail is a counterweight to the front head, the front end of it, and everything just bounces up and down like a bloody, I guess it's, you know, the archery bows, you know, the big long ones. If you grab them in the string and just bounce them up and hold them horizontally and just bounce them up and down, that's how kangaroos work. They're just like, they just bounce. It's a very efficient form of locomotion across long distances. And yeah, that's why I slow down to see what color they are. They, you know, you stick them in amongst that shit and they're basically nearly impossible to see. They blend in really well, you know, like you get, say if it was to come through there bouncing, you know what I mean, that's like, that's one bounce, two bounce, three bounces, four, you know, and they're coming through the fucking windscreen. And so if those trees are up very, very close to the actual road and you're doing, you know, like 100 k's an hour, quite easily, you know, go straight through the windscreen and snap your neck, crush your chest and snap your neck on the way through, to the back seat sort of stuff, you know. So that's why I invoke, you know, the Shane Hansen's physics laws of sensibility. If you're doing 100 k's an hour and you hit one of those, you know, it's just come the bushes and shit are growing straight up close to the road, and you don't even see it, and it's just fucking hit the edge of the road, bounced, and it's at its full sort of fucking height, or partly there or something. It'll just come straight through the windscreen and kill you, and you won't even have time to react, you know. But if you sit on 50 k's an hour, you know, that's like you've got half the speed, half the velocity. So you got twice as much time to see things, you got twice as much time to react. And every time an object doubles its speed, the energy involved in gaining and holding that speed is like four times. So at 50 k's an hour, you got one quarter of the energy, of the kinetic energy to stop, compared to 100 k's an hour. So therefore, your collisions are likely to be, that they're going to be way less, you know. You've got a chance of seeing the kangaroo, you've got a chance of reacting to the kangaroo, and your stopping distance is going to be about one quarter of what it would be if you're driving at 100 k's an hour, you know. And, you know, with 50 k's an hour, if it just comes straight out of the bushes and shit, and it's a blind shot, you know what I mean, you can't see it coming sort of stuff, the impact is going to be a lot less worse. Chances are it'll might smash the windscreen in, but it probably won't come into the car, you know. It won't go straight through the fucking windscreen and through you. And if you can't, sometimes shit just happens, you know what I mean? But at 50 k's an hour, you can basically stop, come to a complete halt within a car length, within the length of your own car. So even if you can knock off half of that speed, you know, that's, you're hitting at 25 k's. You're hitting at 25 k's an hour, and, you know, so you got twice the time to see it, twice the time to react, and if you hit it at only half the speed at 50 k's now, if you can, you know, half the car length, if you can drop down to, say, 25 k's an hour, you're basically, it's, you know, you're pretty fucking right, you know. It's what it does is it doesn't guarantee fucking absence of anything. It just, in the first place, you know, you got one quarter of the impact energy at 50 k's an hour as 100 compared to 100 k's an hour. And because you're building time to see, time to react, and your stopping distance is like one quarter, those are all multipliers of avoiding accidents and minimizing damage and death and serious injury and shit. You know what I mean? That's why I drive really slow, because you get these fucking, these ones are bad. These ones are very bad. They're just a solid mass. They're, I don't know, that one looks to be about 50, 60 kilos, you know. I guess, yeah, you know, you just, that, you know, that they just destroy. When cars hit them, people, when they have a collision at, say, the car's doing 100 k an hour and the kangaroo's coming in about 60 k's an hour from the side, fucking whammo, you know, it'll just fuck the car engine, fuck the front of the car, everything, really bad, you know. So that's why I travel at 50 k's an hour in the times and locations when the kangaroos are really likely to be out and where they're likely to be. A bit of caution goes a long way. And that's one of the things is, when you're really tired, if you have, say, 100 kilometres to go and you're sitting on, say 50 to 70 k's an hour, basically the trip's going to take twice as long. And if you're really tired, what then happens is you've got to concentrate twice as long when you're already tired you know, you got to be sort of, you know, vigilant and sort of at least staring ahead and not taking your eyes off the road, but you've got to do it for twice as long, sort of thing. And, you know, that's what makes the sort of longer night trips, that's what makes the night trips longer and more sort of tiring, because you've mentally got to stay as alert as you can to not run into these things, because they'll just fucking hop out of the darkness, pow, you know. And, you know, eyes wide open and foot ready to go, foot sort of at the ready to just go fucking bang onto the brakes, you know. That's a real lifesaver, but being tired and having to travel for twice as the time, you know, is a big issue.